Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
To talk all things college football and a pro thing or two. Words hard. Me, Nick Wilson. He, Danny Cannell of CBS Sports, and he's joining us now on the Fan Hotline. Danny, welcome to the show.
And of course, Danny coming on courtesy of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines.
Danny, glad to have you, buddy.
What's up, Nick? How we doing, man? It's great to be on with you guys. Fun football season so far. I think the back end of the season is going to be just as much as the front end. More wild surprises in store and a wide-open college football playoff field. It's been great.
All right. I do want to get to all of the things you just said. If I remember correctly, you live in Florida, right?
Correct.
Okay. My kid today, mind you, it's October 23rd, and we just got the first real like week of October in Ohio, and she said to me today, we were waiting on the bus stop, and she says, Dad, can winter be over already? And I just want to know, do you and your kids, like, is it like 60 degrees right now, and you're like, man, I can't wait for March?
You know, we're on the other side of the spectrum where we're tired of wearing shorts and t-shirts and are dying to wear a hoodie just around a little bit. It is currently 81 degrees right now, slightly breezy. I'm headed out to hit some golf balls on the range to work on my game a little bit. But it is getting that time when summer's getting to be a little bit exhausting and we're ready for some cool air. So we would trade you for about a month, and then we'll come back and take the Florida weather.
Yeah, you don't even know a world where we're existing right now, where we're in the fall portion of golf where leaves are everywhere. And so I put the Pro V1s go away. I bring out the crappy balls now because any ball that is even in the fairway has a chance of just being lost.
Or you can get those like bright yellow balls, you know, the yellow, neon green, something like that. But even still, I remember living in New England that the leaves suck. You can lose balls, so many balls in one round of golf. That's the worst.
I still play with the orange balls because I hit a lot of them near the water, and it just helps me identify them just a little quicker.
Yeah. Smart. Why not? You know, it used to be made fun of people like that. Usually it was old guys. Now it's just smart, economically savvy guys that don't want to lose, you know, these balls, which cost $6 or $7 a piece.
And they're pretty. Danny, will Ohio State lose in the regular season this year?
I don't think so. You know, I just want to be careful because I've been burned so many times this season thinking teams are elite, thinking teams are above everybody else. And as I get reminded every single weekend, including last weekend, everyone is beatable. Now, with that being said, if you had me pick one team that I was going to put money on and said that team is not going to lose, it would be the Ohio State Buckeyes. I just saw him in person the first time. I was in Madison last weekend with CBS. We were doing some pregame stuff. And I'll tell you what, man, I talked to Jeremiah Smith after the game, and he said, I think we're better than last year's national championship team. I don't think he's wrong. I think this team has a lot more going for it. I think there's even more upside and growth potentially for this team to improve, specifically in the run game and the offensive line. But they, you know, I was asked a couple weeks ago, what is the weakness of Ohio State? And when you struggle and you really have to nitpick to find a weakness, it's a reason they're the number one team in the country. And I had my doubts early on, I'll be honest. I didn't know if Julian Sayin would have those first-year starter struggles where you just have a game kind of like Carson Beck did last week for the Miami Hurricanes. Is barring that, where Julian Sayin just pulls a complete 180 from everything that he's been so far, or just a very uncharacteristic game where they sort of just kick it around and let the other team hang around? I don't think so. This team is the real deal.
Do you think fans are going to eventually turn on the idea that it's like the schedule's just been so soft and not enough good competition that when you get to the playoff, the Buckeyes will actually be at a disadvantage because of that?
So that actually, you're reading my mind, because that's my biggest concern right now for the Buckeyes, is they're so good and the schedule sets up where they had some of their tests early. And we'll see if Penn State puts up a fight. I doubt it. We'll see if Michigan puts up a fight in a rivalry game. I doubt it. But it's sort of that mental challenge that Ohio State has had. That's my biggest fear, that the only time that they get to a fourth quarter and they look up at the scoreboard and see a tie game or trailing by a field goal, that it could be in a much higher stakes moment where a loss ends your season. So whether it's the Big Ten championship game or a first round playoff game or a national championship game, I do think this team does need to be tested. And I do think that's a strength of a team like Alabama. So even though they have one loss, they've been in a bunch of just dogfights. So when they get to the playoffs, they'll be battle tested. Now, granted, this Ohio State team might just be that good, as some teams like Alabama have been in the past, that run the table and just don't ever get tested. They're just that good. But I don't think that's a reality, because that's just not how college football works. You're going to have a team that either plays lights out and gets hot against you, or you have a game like I was just talking about where you kind of stumble out the gates and you fumble around a little bit, and then all of a sudden you're in a test. And that really, to me, comes to some of the younger, inexperienced guys. Guys like Caleb Downs, you know, the players that have been around this team, it won't faze them. But some of the younger guys, specifically a player like Julian Sayin, a quarterback, how does he respond in that situation? We might not find out until the stakes are way higher.
Danny, Browns fans were really hoping we might get a couple quarterbacks to shake free worthy of being a top three pick. I know Fernando Mendoza has looked great in Indiana. Dante Moore's come on really strong at Oregon. But yet, names like Sellers and Klubnik and Nussmeier, they've really disappointed. So if we put Mendoza and Moore into the you're trending towards a top pick, first round pick kind of category, of the other quarterbacks, which quarterbacks do you give the best chance to put it together in the second half of the season to make a case to be a first rounder or maybe even the first pick?
Well, I thought it was going to be Carson Beck before last week. Now, he could respond in a big way. That's Miami's quarterback, by the way. And you guys know that. But, I mean, he's played a lot of football. He was playing great. He was leading the Heisman Trophy race. I saw him in person against my Florida State Seminoles throw four touchdowns and zero interceptions and some beautiful passes. But he is a little bit erratic, as we saw with the four interception performance last week. But he could finish strong and play his way back in there. He's big. He's got your prototypical arm talent, arm strength, size, all the stuff you look for. But I will say this, Ty Simpson, the quarterback at Alabama, he is performing at an elite level in a pocket that is not exactly clean all the time. He's got guys in his lap, and he's making NFL-level throws. He's not dinking and dunking and throwing a bunch of bubble screens, which sometimes you can see at the college level. He's throwing there's a four vertical route that everybody runs, and he works those inside seams better than a lot of guys I've seen over the last 5 years. So I'd say Ty Simpson, but don't be out there pounding the table for Fernando Mendoza for the Browns. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, and I'm trying to get them to tank so we get a chance at Fernando Mendoza for the Dolphins. So
you'd hate him, Danny. Don't I mean, like I think more like Jaden Maiava.
I like you paying $50 million for Tua to sit on the bench.
Yeah, oh my gosh, Tua's been an absolute disaster, and I was worried about that coming out. And of course we passed on Justin Herbert. That's history though. But I do think Mendoza is the guy that, you know, if there's, because I think there's also Reuben Bain, who's a defender for Miami, could go number one overall. But I think Mendoza sort of is separating himself from the rest of the class. But that doesn't mean you're going to have, you know, you're not going to have two or three quarterbacks go in the first round.
Like, how elite are we talking with Mendoza? Are we talking, you know, we always have like the different phrases, suck for luck, all those type of things. Are we at that spot with Mendoza, or is it going to be a soft, kind of like Cam Ward? Someone's going to go number one overall, and it's probably a quarterback, and that's who it ends up being.
I don't know if it's It's clearly not. I mean, but how about this? Remember when Trevor Lawrence was all the rage? Mm-hmm. And I mean, he hasn't exactly panned out. I think he's been a disappointment for Jacksonville. There's really no such thing as a guarantee. You know, it's just, I've learned that it's really a coin flip. But I do think I would put Mendoza in there talent wise. He reminds me of Jared Goff, you know, who actually I think is a really good quarterback, probably one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the NFL, and the Rams cast him aside because getting to a Super Bowl wasn't good enough, and he sure looks like he could take the Detroit Lions to the Super Bowl. But I think it's sort of that type. Like, Jared Goff was the number one overall pick. He's really good. I don't know if he's the type that people are going to be clamoring for. But I'll give you another one. Like, Arch Manning was the guy who was supposed to be, oh, everyone's going to be in the Arch Manning sweepstakes. It looks like Arch Manning's probably going to come back, and his first-round status is very much in doubt. So I just think it's always such a crapshoot. But I would put Mendoza in sort of those ones where it's a pretty safe pick. And when I say safe, as opposed to it being a 50-50 proposition with a number one overall pick, I'd probably say it's a 60-40, 65-35, that he's a success as opposed to a flop.
Danny, we do a quarterback Deadpool. We draft at the beginning of the season, and the goal is to either get the number one pick for a quarterback in 2026, or to get the quarterback the Browns take, or to get the most drafted. So those are really the three ways we measure it, and I drafted Penn State's Drew Aller. Now, in fairness, he's from right down the road in Penn State.
Yeah,
I feel like James Franklin ruined him to some degree. I want to see him come back for one more year, and I'd love to see him at a Miami or at a place with a high-powered head coach. Is that what you would suggest the young man do?
So you're talking to somebody that took a leap of faith in Drew Aller, because I picked Penn State to win the national championship in the preseason, and oh my goodness, does that look bad now. I thought, and this is something that a couple of my colleagues that I work with were like, oh boy, you're going to take that leap. I thought he would take a big step forward this year. You know, he had lost some weight. He was going to run some more. They got him new receivers. I think you're looking at a quarterback who's probably a sixth or seventh round pick. I mean, you talk about one of the biggest falls that we've seen. And ultimately, I don't think he has anybody to blame for but himself. He just has not elevated. And he's really been, throughout his career at Penn State, a really good game manager. That's why early in his first two seasons, he had great touchdown-to-interception ratio. But, man, when you put on the tape of him versus the better competition, he vanishes in the big stages. And I just think he is what he is. And I hate saying that. I don't like being so harsh on quarterbacks, but he's had a long time. And I actually think James Franklin is the best thing that could have happened to Drew Aller, because everybody's thinking it's on the coach. I think a lot of it, James Franklin might have picked the wrong quarterback or stuck with the wrong quarterback for too long. And I just don't see him translating. He just, for whatever reason, I would like to see somebody who's had more games on the bright, biggest stages that stepped up and elevated the guys around him, rather than feels like he pulled everybody down, which I think is the reality of what happened with Drew Aller.
Danny, you mentioned your prediction with Penn State. You're not the only one to do that, obviously. Preseason AP top 25, Texas was one, Penn State was two, Ohio State was three, Clemson was four. So three of those four teams have majorly, they've just disappointed in a big way. What happened this year? Why was it not as predictable?
So I never bought into Texas. I thought Texas was going to be a decent team, but I thought the Arch Manning experience would be a roller coaster. And so far it looks like that. And I actually thought there'd be more ups than there would be downs. I mean, you had the win against Oklahoma where he looked pretty good. And so I think Texas fans started to feel optimistic. And then last week against Kentucky, he had maybe one of the worst performances. And now they're asking Sark to relinquish play calling duties, which is kind of crazy. The guy's one of the best offensive minds out there. And all of a sudden, so I think Texas wasn't that surprising. Penn State to me was the biggest surprise. And I think that's sort of a perfect storm of Drew Aller didn't take that next step. They had so many chips on the table for the Oregon game. When that fell short, they had the hiccup against UCLA. And then just disaster strikes, and a locker room is shell-shocked, and they're probably feeling sorry for themselves. And then they lose the next game to Northwestern, and then all of a sudden you're finding yourself on the outside just completely, you know, just shocked. I mean, it is what it is. Clemson, I think Clemson is probably the biggest, you know, one of the bigger disappointments as well. And I don't think that's really about the evaluation as much as it is that Dabo Swinney just, I think we all bought into he could do it the old school way, which is good old team spirit, team camaraderie. We're building from within. And I know he tackled the transfer portal and took three guys. But, man, I just think at Clemson, and if they would have taken a transfer portal class about 15 and upgraded some positions, running back was a big glaring weakness along the offensive line. They haven't been great. If they could have just gotten – and they can afford it. If they would have gotten about 10 to 15 players to come in there, I think Clemson would have been exactly where they wanted to be. Cade Klubnik, I thought he was a really good college quarterback. I thought maybe he was a second or third round pick in the NFL. I didn't think he could carry a team, and that's kind of proven to be true. But I think unless Dabo adjusts his philosophy, which is essentially, it'd be like an NFL team saying, we're only going to win through the draft. We're going to ignore free agency, which is the dumbest. You would say, what are you doing? That's what Dabo's doing. Until he adapts and starts utilizing the transfer portal, Clemson's going to be playing behind the eight ball. It's like trying to win a fight with one arm behind your back. It's just not sustainable, and I think he's learning that the really hard way.
Danny, I know the record's not good for this candidate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
I'm about to put forth this year, but your Florida State Seminoles might be needing a new head coach here. Can I get you on Dion to Florida State? Can I get you there with me?
Oh boy. Well, prime time. Who's got an interesting checkered past with Florida State since he's left. Now, he was one of Florida State's favorite sons when he was playing there and had an unbelievable career. And then he goes off the NFL. But he already wanted the Florida State job once, and Florida State passed on him, and he wasn't thrilled with it. And it got kind of ugly, and he's kind of taken some shots at Florida State since then, where the current administration, the current athletic director, I don't think he would hire him, and I don't know if Dion would actually want it. Now, if you see wholesale changes and you see a new athletic director in there, then I think it could be something that possibly could happen. But I just wonder about Dion. I know he can recruit. I know he can do that. And he could bring talent to Florida State, which would be incredible. I still have my doubts about him as a game day coach. I mean, last year he didn't know the overtime rules. This year there was a game early where there was a severe clock mismanagement issue and a late game situation that cost him the game. Now, the good news is maybe that's learning. Like, maybe that's him. He can get better and improve on that. So I think it's a really interesting one. I would say the Florida State fan base is split, like 50-50. There would be a heavy contingent would say, yes, bring him back. And then there'd be another contingent would say, no, he's not ready. You know, we want somebody that has more experience winning at that level. But I do think, to your question, barring Florida State winning out or maybe losing only one more game to finish the season, I think they're going to try to scrounge up the money. And it's not like you're looking for chump change in the ashtray in the car. They got to find probably $75 million to come up with. And I think they're looking all over, exhausting every resource to try to find it. And barring, like I said, if Mike Norvell doesn't win out or come close to it, I think they're just going to have to make a change and figure out how to make the finances work.
Danny, you're great as always. Little jealous, little bitter about the 80-plus degrees, but we appreciate you, buddy. Hope all's well.
All right, you got it, Nick. I'm going to go work on my short game here, maybe have a cocktail when I'm done at the bar after and watch the sunset. And, you know, it's starting to get a little bit chilly. It's almost down to 79, so I got to bundle up.
I'm going to freeze my giblets off driving home. Thanks, buddy.
We'll see you guys.
Danny Cannell there.
And Danny's coming on courtesy of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines.
It's exactly the same thing I would do if I was in the warm weather and Danny was in the cold weather.
I just like to hear that he practices a short game. That's where you shave. That's where you shave the strokes, Nick. You gotta work on the short game. Everyone wants to work on the driver all the time. I like that Danny's putting in the real work.
You don't need to work on the short game if you hit everything 325 yards. Just saying. We'll react to what Danny had to say, and we got Cash Love It.
Hate it.
In 10 minutes as well on 92.3 The Fan. We're going to get to Cash Love It.
Hate it.
In just a few moments here. I think this could end up being the really weird quarterback draft where we end up having four guys, and it might not behoove you to take the first guy off the board. Like, this might be one of those drafts where it's kind of like, okay, 2018 was a year where it was like, Baker ended up being the number one pick, but if a different team had the number one pick, it would have been Sam Darnold. If a different team from that would have had it, it might have been Josh Rosen or Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the kind of year, except without maybe the ceiling of the prospects.
I mean, it feels like it's going to be what it was last year in many ways. Like, you might have one quarterback that separates itself to be taken number one overall, but like, you're going to have to actually do your job as a talent evaluator in the NFL. Like, right now, guys that worked with Jackson Dart, good job. You did it right. But like, that's what it's going to come down to, which I actually kind of like when it works out that way, where you actually like really get to see what teams put in the work and are able to identify and figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it becomes, how do they fit your system? And I actually think there are more guys who actually fit what Kevin Stefanski wants to do. Garrett Nussmeier's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe fit some of the other systems. So I think if Kevin's still here, that's probably a good sign that you're going to have somebody that, okay, maybe they might not be a franchise quarterback, but maybe you have another kind of Baker Mayfield level talent.
Is Danny Cannell the only person that can come on here and say that he didn't believe in Texas and Arch Manning, and we actually are like, okay, maybe that's true?
Yeah.
I might be the only one. Like, legitimately, when I'm asking like where all the predictions and where this all went south, and in particular with Arch Manning, he might be the only one. Because I remember him comparing him to like Ben Simmons from a mental capacity at one point. And it's like, I mean, nobody was saying these things about Arch. Danny might be the only one that gets the exception here.
All right, let's go ahead. It's Thursday at 6:30. Where do we go? I think you know where we go.
It's time to put it on the line with Cash Love It, sponsored by BetMGM and MGM Northfield Park.
And to go out to the fan hotline and welcome on Cash Love It.
Hate it.
Cash, what's up, my man?
Oh, not too much. Getting ready for another beautiful Thursday.
Well, I've seen what it looks like outside. I think we're talking maybe like in an existential way, I'm sure it can be beautiful. We're talking about in actuality. I would not call what's happening right now beautiful.
Why not? We actually have leaves changing colors versus just dying and falling off the tree. So I want to take it.
You know, the only people who care about foliage are people who don't live in the north.
Glass half full guy. I didn't peg you for that, Cash. I like this development out of you.
Hey, you know, from the south, we get a little bit of it, but that was one of the big perks of moving up here. Seeing a little bit of color.
I'll take 70 degrees in like November.
Yeah,
I'll
like
take
when
that.
I lived in Houston, and it was always nice. Except for like the actual summer when it got really really hot. But
when
like
it was 110 with humidity. It was
always fun because friends in the Midwest and family in the Midwest would always post these photos of snow, and I would be like, ah, yeah, it's 75 and awesome. I relished in that. What part of the South were you in?
Just under Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, okay. I got nothing but the Peabody Ducks there. That's the extent of my knowledge.
I was thinking about Dolly Parton and her,
nice barbecue.
Dolly wasn't too far. Everyone loves Dolly. But, I mean, really, the Peabody Ducks even are known up here. Like, that's all we get to know for?
I mean, when I think Memphis, I think the Peabody Ducks. Yeah. Is that not right?
I think barbecue, because I'm fat.
And then Beale Street, obviously. I've gotten drunk a couple times on Beale Street. That's always a good time.
There we go. I'll take that. And I mean, at least it's better than the Bass Pro Pyramid. So, you know,
that is a cool pyramid, though. That's a sweet Bass Pro. Nick, have you ever seen that Bass Pro?
I have not.
It looks like it should be
an Egyptian period,
basically. But if a pyramid was decorated with diamonds and it looks ridiculous from the highway, but it's kind of cool.
All right, Cash, let's get started with Thursday night football game. People can hear right here on 92.3 The Fan. Vikings at Chargers. How are we feeling?
Not well. Went back and forth on this a lot, but the important thing is we have now gone under the key number of 3.5, so we get a push. I know that primetime favorites have been absolutely atrocious over the past 3 weeks, So if it doesn't make sense, it makes perfect sense. We're going to be riding with the Chargers minus 3.
All right, before we get back to the NFL with the Browns game, obviously, let's go to the college game. Ole Miss at OU. What's the read?
Ole Miss played fantastic offense, scored every single time except for the last three. Georgia obviously did the same exact thing with some field goals mixed in. They ran the ball. They tired out that Ole Miss defense. What can OU not do? Run the ball. What does John Mateer look like? Not crazy legs, soft hands. They're going to not be able to keep up. Ole Miss is going to grab some points, plus 5.5, but we don't need them. Ole Miss on the money line, plus 170 in Norman, Oklahoma.
All right, another vaunted matchup of heavyweights in college football, Mizzou versus Vanderbilt. I mean, this one's been generations in the making. What do you got?
We're going to have a lot of fun with it. We're going back to Vandy, as you just said. We just lost out on the under last week, so we're going to go right back to it. Under 52.5 points. We get past that key number of 51. Mizzou loves running the ball. Vandy predominantly runs the ball. Vandy cannot stop predominant runners. Amon Hardy is going to have a nice comeback game. He's been a little bit slow the last 2 weeks, so we're going to stick with the under 52.5.
BYU at Iowa State, what's the read?
We've been in the weeds and we've been in the woods this year, so I wanted to keep it simple. What is the one thing you don't want to see when you're going through the woods? A bear. What does BYU have? Bear. Go ahead. Take the Storm and Mormons plus 2.5.
I would have said snakes. I don't want to see a snake. And like a copperhead. I lived in Charlotte for 4 years. I saw one of those once, and it was a baby, and I messed myself there, friend. I'm not going to lie.
Twist the ankle? Well, are you sure it was a copperhead or just not a vine sticking out through the woods?
It was a copperhead. And, well, the funny thing is, so that's not even the worst snake story. When my wife came back up here, she had a big garden down in Charlotte, and she was like, I can only go back if you promise to water the garden. And so we had a 100-foot hose that I have to walk out to the far edge of the property and work my way back. And so we're getting about halfway up, and I chucked that sucker farther than I needed to because I was getting frustrated. So I had to correct, and I leaned my hand down to pick it up, and I followed it. And it was, again, about a 100-foot black hose. And I'm, like, watching my hand go up. And all of a sudden, I realize that I'm no longer following the hose. Turns out, I have my hand on a, like, 9-foot black snake whose head was poking out just outside the woods there. And I screamed like a woman. And I ran inside, and I didn't go outside until the next morning.
That explains your Google search of 9-foot black snake.
That's for a different thing. That's for a different thing. Mm. I just want to know what's venomous around here.
That's it. That's all. Yeah. Just research. That's all it is. I like that Cash doesn't know how to deal with that yet.
So Browns Patriots, how are we feeling here, Cash?
Believe it or not, we're going to be riding with the Browns. We are now at the key number of 7. So we get 7 amazing points, which I think the Browns are going to need every single one of them. But when you look at it, the Patriots have not really played a tough defense. I know the Browns defense hasn't traveled that well over the past 3 years. But there's not a lot of key weapons for them to worry about. Myles Garrett's going to be able to pick on a rookie left tackle. Anyway, I think they're going to keep it close.
All right, Cash, it's always great talking with you, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
All righty. Y'all have a good one.
You
avoid
too.
The snakes.
Look at that. Avoid snakes. Avoid some of those searches.
Put it on the line with Cash Lovett, sponsored by BetMGM and MGM Northfield Park.
He even hit us with a y'all at the end to make
sure.
I
heard that. I want to comment on that, too. That was him being like, I did live in Memphis.
Now, in fairness, he's hit us with a y'all before.
I think it's just who he is.
I think he might just be a y'all guy. It's easy. When you're down there, guys, I became really good at the y'all.
I like doing the y'all. You know, I never got good at just doing the y'all fluently and just dropping it in, but I definitely did try when I was there.
And the funny thing is, most people can't y'all. My household, everybody could y'all.
It's really fun. It's a fun thing. Also, I mean, you get into it, you know. As I had cowboy boots, I was saying y'all. It was just it's a good time.
Listen, those West Virginia, Tennessee genetic roots were coming out, and I'm not going to apologize for a damn thing. In case we missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.